Let's rise up on our feet, please. So close our eyes and raise up our two hands to the heavens. I was lost, but Jesus found me. Found a sheep my child went astray. But it's loving, but it's loving. I'm alive. Put me back here to sing it loud and clear. Hallelujah. 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 Found a sheep that went astray, found a sheep that went astray. But it's loving, but it's loving. I'm alive. Hallelujah. Put me back here to sing it loud and clear. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Complete in a man. I'm complete in him. Complete in him. Hallelujah. I am complete. Sing it loud and clear. Sing it loud and clear. Complete. Hallelujah. First complete. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. Oh, I am complete in Him. Oh, yes, complete. Hallelujah. Complete in hallelujah, complete. Send that fire, the Holy Ghost fire. Send that fire again, the Holy Ghost fire. Oh, send the fire. Fire, the Holy Ghost fire. Send the fire, send that fire again. The Holy Ghost fire. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. Oh, I am complete. Sing it loud and clear. Complete. Hallelujah. Complete. Hallelujah. Complete. Thank you, Jesus. Say this loud and clear before you sit down. Holy Ghost fire! Arrest every arrester now. I didn't say after the service. I didn't say tomorrow.
Holy Ghost fire!
Arrest the arresters now! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Let every spiritual arresters be arrested. In the name of Jesus. Arise the arresters now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for another wonderful morning. We praise your holy name for bringing us to this wonderful gathering. We thank you because you're a wonderful Father, a Father who never leaves his children in darkness. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. This morning, visit our lives. Touch our spirits. By the time we leave this place, let those who see us coming to this service declare that the glory of God has abounded upon our lives. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Jesus' name we pray. Let's have a say, God bless you. We're looking at what I call the tragedy. The tragedy of Bible illiterate. The tragedy of Bible illiterate. And it's good for you to listen very carefully. The tragedy of Bible illiterates. In Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. That is from where one of our most powerful Bible study courses was taken. It says, "Forever,
Oluwa,
O Lord,
Lai,
thy word is settled in heaven."
Ni orun.
Can you say that loud and clear?
We be alone, rara.
Is that the loudest you can say it?
Yeah, le go so ke juba e lo ni.
Forever. Oh Lord, thy word is set true in heaven. It is set in heaven forever.
Oh Lord, thy word is set true
in heaven. It is set true. The word of God is settled where? In heaven. Keep that behind your mind. In Joshua chapter 1, book of Joshua, chapter 1,
Joshua orikini,
verse 8. Joshua 1:8.
Joshua orikini ese ikejo.
Bow down your heads, beloved.
Eje ka teri baba yara.
Thank the Lord.
Ewi fun Oluwa.
To do something new in your life tonight.
Oluwa o se ohun titun ninu aye re.
Before you leave this place. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Joshua.
Iwe Joshua
chapter 1.
Orikini
verse 8.
Ese ikejo.
This book of the law
iwe ofin yi
shall not depart out of thy mouth.
Ko gbadọ kuro ni enu re.
But thou shalt meditate therein day and night.
Ṣugbọn iwe o ma ṣe aṣaro ninu re losan ati loru.
But thou must observe to do according to all that is written therein.
Ki wo ki o le kiyesi ati ṣe gẹgẹ bi gbogbo yi ti akọ sinu re.
For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous.
Nitori nigba na ni wo ṣe ona re ni rere.
And then thou shalt have what kind of success?
Good success. Nigba na ni yo si dara fun o.
Can you read it in your own Bible now? Joshua 1:8.
Jowo ka ninu Bibeli tara re.
Everybody together, let's go. Psalm 1.
Only David Kenny.
Psalm number 1.
Only David Kenny.
From 1 to 3.
Latia say, Kenny, dear say, Keta.
Psalm 1, 1 to 3.
Only David Kenny, Latia say, Kenny, dear Keta.
Are we there?
Shatishi.
Let's read it together. Let's go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Everything based on verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
and
in his law doth he meditate day and night. When you delight in the word of God and you meditate there day and night, then you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, and whatsoever you do will prosper.
Those
are the preconditions. In the book of John, the Gospel, John chapter 6 verse 63.
John chapter 6
verse 63. The book Gospel according to Saint John chapter 6 verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit. And they are what? They are life. Those words, they are not ordinary words. They are spirit. And they are life. I pray that God will specially open your understanding here tonight. Now in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, 12. That's one scripture you must know from memory. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12. Are we there? If you are not there, say, wait for me. Everybody there now? Let's read it together. Let's go. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the earth. Look at it again. For the word of God is what, number one? Quick. And two, powerful. Three, sharper than any two-edged sword. Four, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And then, last one, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the earth. So you can see the power of the word of God. One of the greatest powers that God gave to man, if not actually the greatest power, is the power of words. There is power in words. In the beginning, it said, let there be light. And there was light. And the book of John tells us that in the beginning was the Word.
Iwe Johannes is of wa pe ni atete ko se
ni oro. And the word was with God.
Oro si wa pelu Olorun.
And the word was God.
Oro Olorun si ni oro na.
All things were made by those words.
O ngogo la da nipa oro woyi.
Without them was nothing made that was made.
Nipa re ni ko si ohun ko ta da ninu ogogo ta da.
There is power in words.
Agbara nbe ninu oro.
When a teacher begins to speak to you in class, very soon the words of a teacher will turn that student into a lawyer. When the teacher begins to speak to you in class, very soon those words he's speaking in class turns you to a doctor or a lawyer. There is power in words. Forever, O Lord, the Bible says, thy word is settled in heaven. God speaks. Man speaks. Devil speaks. Man has said so many things that never happened. Adolf Hitler, when he was in Germany in those days,
Adolf Hitler ni le Germany ni gba yan lohun,
he said, I will capture Africa and turn into a rubber plantation. It did not work.
O le ohun yo gba koso ile Africa ohun a si so di oko rubber ko sele o.
One man began to prophesy in 1976 that the world will come to an end. Here we are now, the world is still existing.
Ni 1976 okunrin kan ba lanu re gbagba o laye o pare.
An angel may speak and the thing the angel has spoken may not come to pass. A man may speak and what he is speaking may not come to pass. A prophet may even speak, what he is saying does not come to pass. Witches and wizards have talked all kinds of rubbish before and none of it came to pass. There are people who have said so many words. It doesn't come to pass. But there is only one person who speaks and does not change. And the word will come to pass. And that person is God, the Almighty. The Almighty has now put down His own word, His own intention, His own motives, His own manifesto into a book called the Bible.
Then
the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie.
It
says forever, O Lord. It didn't say for some time, O Lord. It didn't say for a few years, O Lord.
It says
forever,
O
Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. What is the implication of what I've been repeating in your ears? It means that once the word of God has said something, whether you believe it or not, it's not important. If he says there is hell, I say, no, I don't believe there is hell. When the person gets there, he will know. If he says without repentance you can't make heaven, you say, well, I want to make heaven, I don't want to repent. You will find out when you get there. There is no book that is so important and that is so serious in use as the Bible.
Ko si iwe kankan to se pataki.
There is no other book anywhere that has the power to change human nature as the Bible. This is a very serious matter. I studied science.
Imagine science in biology,
biology, molecular biology, chemistry, physical chemistry, organic chemistry, clinical, this clinical, that. All those things didn't change my life 1 second.
Gbogbo awon oniruru nkan ti mo ka niwe ko yi aye mi pada fun seju aya.
But the word of God has power to change the nature of man. That's why it is not possible to enslave somebody who reads the Bible. It's impossible to mentally or even socially enslave a Bible reading people.
Lati so eniyan iba se ninu opolo ni o abi nipa awujo bi eru awon eniyan to nka bibeli.
The nations of the world that were started by Bible readers are still the nations that are on top now, right now.
Awon orilede lagbaye to nleke bayi won je awon orilede ta won to da won sile won je eni to nka bibeli.
Those who founded America went to America to found America because they were not happy with the spiritual life of where they were staying. They went to somewhere else.
Awon to lo te ile orilede America do won kuro ni ibi ti won wa tele nitori pe igbe aye emi be o te won lorun won si lo te ile America do ki won le gbe igbe aye temi to te won lorun.
That's why we must know that we have an important book in our hands.
Idi ni e ta fin lati mo pe iwe ta ni lowo wa yi iwe to se pataki.
If you study the history of men, in the history of men there have been 95 men you can consider to be great in this last century.
Ni be ba lo ka eto eniyan daada e ri pe ninu odun 100 so eyin bayi awon eniyan 95 la le ka si eniyan giriki eniyan nla to ti gba orilede agbaye koja.
87 of those men were Bible readers, Bible followers.
Meta din ni 100 ninu won je eni to nka bibeli to si mulo.
The Bible contains the mystery of mysteries.
Ninu bibeli le o ti ri awon aditu ti aditu.
It's even better not to have been born at all than for somebody to doubt or to scorn the Bible.
O dara ki won ma ti e bi eniyan ju ki won wa bi tan ko ma siye meji nipa bibeli abi ko ma gan bibeli.
The Bible says spiritual microscope.
Bibeli je ero awo finifini temi
that looks at things spiritually and be able to discern which is which.
Don wo awon kan nipa temi finifini asi le so pe bayi lo to bayi ni o to.
I read a story about Queen Victoria of England who was visiting Africa and gave an African prince a gift.
Mo ka iwe kan nipa Ayaba Victoria ti ile ilu oba to wa si orilede Adulawo bi o si fun omo ba kan nile Adulawo o fun ni ebun.
And what he gave to that African prince was a Bible.
Ebun to fun omo ba yi nile Adulawo o je bibeli.
And that queen said to that African prince, said, take this gift.
Ayaba iwa so fun omo ba ohun pe gba ebun yi.
Here is the secret of England's greatness. He gave it to that prince. The Christian who is careless about Bible reading will also be careless about his Christian living. You can read many books in this world, but it's the Bible is the only book that will read you.
O le ka opolopo iwe nile aye yi sugbon bibeli ni kan ni iwe ti yo ka iwo funra re.
Other books are for information, but this one is for transformation, to transform you.
Gbogbo awon iwe yoku yo fun ni iroyin ni sugbon iwe yi bibeli yo yi opada.
The tragedy now is that most of the present day believers are Bible illiterate.
Sugbon ijamba to nbe nisisin ni pe opolopo Christian igbalode alaimoko alaimoka ni won lori oro bibeli.
A lot of people claim to be born again don't know the Bible at all.
Opolopo to la won ti di atunbi won o ti e wa mo bibeli rara.
Some don't do regular Bible study, some don't memorize Bible, some don't even get friendly with the word of God.
Awon kan won ki ka bibeli dede, awon kan ki ko akosori, awon omiro o ti e ba oro olorun dore.
Unfortunately, a lot of people come here, the only thing that interests them is prayer point, to just pray, but they are not interested in the word of God.
O se ni la nu pe opolopo eniyan lo nwa sibi o nkan je ti won nife si ni awon koko adura o nife rara si oro Olorun.
That's why so many lives are really not transformed, because the word of God that will transform them, they are not interested.
Idi ni e ti aye opolopo eniyan o fi yi pada nitori pe oro Olorun to ye ko yi won pada ni won o nife si yi.
The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from that Bible.
Bibeli yo di olowo ko ni je ko dese abi ese yo di olowo ko ni je ko ka bibeli.
When your Bible is dusty, then your life too will be dusty.
Nigbati eruku abi idoti ba ti bo bibeli re mole idoti ati eruku yo bo aye re na mole.
When your Bible is very clean, then it will lead to unclean life.
Nigba ti bibeli re ba mo toni toni yo mu ki aye re je aye alaimo.
As you are sitting listening to me here tonight,
nbo ti joko to ngba mi lase aleyin,
we are in two categories.
Isori meji la wa,
those who have been transformed by the word of God,
awon ti oro Olorun yi pada,
and those who have been transformed into the mold of the world,
ati awon ti ise aye to yi won pada.
It is sad to know that in spite of the fact that the Bible remains the most sold book in the world, it is practically mostly neglected.
In fact,
we've started 70 days now.
The
ordinary simple memory verse has become a big task for so many people. It is dangerous, and the enemy is using it to destroy Christians. Haven't you noticed how easy it is for people to memorize advertisement and memorize all kinds of things from radio, but the word of God, problem? Don't you notice that some people can tell you all the 11 players of Green Eagles plus those who are sitting on the bench who are not playing, but to just tell us what order the Bible is becomes a problem. There is an enemy that doesn't want people to be biblically literate. There is an enemy that knows that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There is an enemy that picks the word of God from people's life and makes their lives useless. When people neglect the Bible, they get into trouble. When people don't read their Bible, they become useless Christians. They become powerless Christians. No matter how prayerful you are, if that your prayer is not backed by the word of God, you are powerless. And the more you begin to get into the word of God, the more your life will begin to change. It is sad that many people who come for our meetings are biblically illiterate. Many can take the microphone and call about 200, 300 prayer points, but to read 50 memory verses, 20 memory verses from scripture, problem. Those ones are not on their way to heaven yet. Make up your mind by the time you leave this place today that there must be a change in your system, a change in the way you look at the word of God. Say, you shall meditate therein day and night. Then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. Meaning that the reverse too is true. If you don't meditate on that word, you will not make your way prosperous, and there will be no good success. It's simple. So whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and his light does he meditate day and night? If you don't meditate in that law day and night, then there will be no easy flow of refreshing like a tree planted by the waterside.
Inu didu re nbe ninu ofin Olorun ninu oro re lo fin se asaro losun ati loru bi o ba se iyen koni si wi didabi gi ti agbe si epa etido.
It will be a great day, beloved. The way many of you here can back up all this your prayers with the word of God, the devil will see you and will
run.
The time that the devil came to Jesus, what drove him away was, it is written. When you don't know what is written, then you are in trouble. Old Yaba Road was where this happened. When we were still there. On the wedding day of a sister, she just found that the members of the family came. And nobody in the family was smiling. On wedding day, where a lot of people have ice cream smiles and fake smiles, but that day, the whole of the house, whole of the husband, they wore a frowning look.
Anyway,
the wedding was done. They got home at night. The first night, the sister was not sleeping. She wasn't sleeping. The mother-in-law walked into the room, passing through the wall. I know some will say, can this kind of thing happen? Worst things do happen. The woman moved in through the wall. So meaning that even if you put burglary proof in your house and you put iron door, it doesn't prevent a demon from entering. The woman moved in. The sister could not move again. She didn't know which word of God to read. And this woman moved in and put her hand inside the womb. She said the hand entered into her body as if knife is entering butter. And the woman brought out the whole womb into her hand like this. And walked that again through the wall. And that was it. For 12 years, she could not conceive. All tests were okay. The womb was there. But it has been spiritually taken out. And she continued like this until somebody brought her to one of her meetings. And I could remember that day, we're talking about the power in the word of God. She listened. But she felt she was too old to memorize the Bible. And she learned some prayers from MFM. Everything that I've lost, I recovered them by fire. She prayed those prayers too. For the first time, she had a dream. And the woman who took a womb away 12 years ago came back with the womb in her hand, dripping with blood. And the sister said, yes, give me my womb back. I want my womb back now. In the name of Jesus, give it back to me. The woman said, why should I give it back to you? I said, because it is written, touch not my anointed, do my purpose now. It is written upon Mount Zion that shall be delivered, and the children of Jacob shall possess their possession. That woman said, that's correct. But where is it written? She did not know. She just knew those verses. Maybe even from prayer meeting. I don't think she learned them in herself. It's written. But where? She could not answer. And the woman took the womb again. Out. It took her deliverance, some days of prayer, before that dream repeated again. But before then, she now became a serious Bible scholar. She read the Bible. She memorized the Bible. She ate the Bible as if you are eating food. Unfortunately, the woman came back again. Again with the womb. Say, give my womb, give it back to me. Again, said, why? Why should I have to give it to you? I said, because it is written. This, that.
Bye.
The woman said, why is it written?
Isaiah.
Chapter
8, verse 10.
Why is it written? Quickly, they handed the womb back to her. And that was how she conceived. By the power of the word of God. It is a tragic life. When you are attacked in your dream. And you have no spiritual consciousness to say it is written. It is a sad thing. When in your dream they are pursuing you. And you run. You cannot say, excuse me.
Excuse me.
Hear the word of the Lord. It is written. You cannot say that. Something is wrong somewhere. We used to have a Yoruba teacher in my former school. He used to tell us a Yoruba proverb. He said, it is he who runs that will be pursued. When you run, then they pursue you. And when you stand, you are not moving, so how will you run? This is a problem now.
And
especially in this particular period of 70 days, this must be solved. A lot of people are rushing for deliverance, rushing for this, rushing for that. Whereas sometimes all they need is you sit down, dip themselves into the word of God, understand it, memorize it, use it. And like that woman, the enemy is exploiting their weaknesses. The Bible says we should not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. If you are ignorant, the devil will take advantage of you. Can you raise up your right hand and declare this upon your life loud and clear? Birds of darkness, stealing the words of God from my life. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare it. Masetekeya boshende rabokonta. In Jesus' name we pray. In Mark chapter 13, you see this powerful verse 31. The Bible says something very, very powerful in that place. Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Are you there? Can we read it loud and clear? Can you say that again loud and clear? My basic training was in the sciences. And if you begin to look at the Bible, and you look at science, you find that the Bible is scientifically accurate. Many years ago, men believed that the earth was flat. Or that the earth sat on a large animal, or there is a giant carrying the earth on his head. But long time ago, the Bible has told us in Job 26:7. He says this. He stretched out the north over the empty space and hanged the earth upon nothing. Was the Bible that first of all said the earth is floating, is hanging it upon nothing? But men used to believe that the God called Hercules was carrying it on his head, or is on the head of a large animal, one giant. Science has not discovered that the earth was floating until 1650. Look at how long the Bible has been written.
1650.
Whereas this book of Job is the first book in the Bible. People thought before that everything we see is composed of things that we can see. It's now recently science discovered that all the materials are made up with small, small atoms that we cannot see. Which you find your Hebrews 11:3. Also, even the shape of the earth. People thought it was triangle. It was like a square or a rectangle. And if you walk, you may eventually fall down somewhere. But the Bible has said in Isaiah 40:22 that the earth is
circular.
It was later men discovered that it was round, but the Bible has said that before. One scientist was even killed for suggesting that the earth is circular. Many of you might not have seen what happens underneath the
sea.
If you happen to go to those areas where they can take you under the sea, and you see how the sea is run. You see that as we have main road, pathway. On the surface. It's inside the sea too. Psalm 8:8 has said this. Said it talks about the paths of the sea. The radio waves we talked about has been talked about by Job 38:35. All the Bible laws of hygiene, you wash your hands when you touch the sick, do this, is what medicine is practicing now. Now medicine is beginning to cry to people, don't eat fat. But from Leviticus 7, the Bible has said, don't eat fat.
Latinu Leviticus ori keje, Bible ti so pe ka ma je ora, ode oni ni mo.
And those who are digging up things, the archaeologists. If you go and ask them, why is Sodom and Gomorrah? They'll take you there. Wall of Jericho, they'll take you there. The mountain where Noah's ark was hooked, they'll take you there. Confirming what the Bible says, that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word, the Bible as the word of God, cannot be destroyed. People have tried to destroy this right down through the ages. They did not succeed. People have tried to fault the accuracy of Bible prophecy. They failed. People have tried to fault the historical accuracy of the Bible. They have failed. Even as we are talking now, the Bible is still the world's bestseller, most circulated
book.
It does wonders in the life of men. It changes their lives. Look at all the worldly books that we read. The books you read in primary school, if you are above 30 here, you find that it's not what they read again now. When we were in junior school in those days, the book they gave to us was something having to do with one man called Abdul. Who knows about the Abdul book here? You see? Some people don't even know that there is a book that has Abdul in it. Abdul book has vanished. Nobody reads Abdul again now. Later they took that one away. Said this one is not good. So cannot teach you proper English. They brought one again. And that's the one where you find Shokoloko Bangoshi. Who knows about that one too? Nobody reads Shokoloko Bangoshi again. That one too has gone. And newer books are replacing it. They bring a book out. Somebody come and say it's not good. They replace it. But not the Bible. One of the largest libraries in the world is in France.
There's
a library in France where a shelf of that library is 4 miles long. 4 miles. But all the books there are outdated. It's finished. Even science itself is rewritten almost every 10 years. Somebody becomes a professor for discovering something. Another person becomes a professor for disproving it. These are the books of men, but not the Bible. He said, it's not my word like a hammer that breaketh rocks into pieces. So the Bible is called a hammer to convict. It's called fire to refine. The Bible is also a mirror to reflect. So look at what you are doing. The Bible is also called a seed. A seed that you plant and to multiply. A lot of people hate Sunday school classes. So many hate Bible studies. Some people might not have attended Sunday school class for a whole year, 2 years. You are harming yourself more. The Bible is called a lamp to guide. It's called rain and snow to refresh. The Bible is even called a ball for revenge. A sword to cut. The Bible is called gold to enrich. The Bible has power to create faith. The Bible is called food to nourish. It gives milk to the babies, bread for the hungry, meat for the matured, honey for those who are in the desert. And the Bible tells us that everything written in this book is written for our learning, so that we, through the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. The Bible gives you a chance to see how other men made their choices and what that choice led to. So that you too, when you want to choose, you look at it thoroughly, properly. Look at it thoroughly, properly. In the light of the Word of God. Joseph's choice in the house of
Potiphar
was what promoted him. Daniel's choice, he will not eat this king's vegetables, was what promoted him. Choice of Jesus Christ to go to Jerusalem and die was what now made him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But at the same time, the choice of Adam cost him the Garden of Eden. The choice of Esau cost him his back
thrice.
The choice of Achan cost him his life and the life of his family. The choice of Absalom cost him his life. The choice of
Judas
cost him his apostleship. The choice of Demas cost him the loss of his ministry. The choice of Jonah nearly wrecked his life and the life of the crew.
It's
the Bible that makes us understand that somebody in the family could be the reason the whole family is in trouble. You as a father there, you may be the one causing problem for your family. So the Bible is not a book to push aside the way most of us push it aside. I pray that you will become a Bible addict. You become a Bible addict. You become a Bible addict. You will become a Bible addict. Once you become that, your life will become a power generator. Added to the prayer, you can pray now. Oh, then you are headed for the top. Many churchgoers are completely ignorant about the Bible. January 1, a lot of people threaten to start to read the Bible throughout the year. Right now, they have not read it to one quarter. Some are using the Bible as a powerful fetish. They just put it under their pillow and put their pillow on top and sleep. Some hold the Bible only when they are afraid. Some open to Psalm 23 and turn Psalm 23 to a pillow and sleep. Many have small Bible, medium Bible, big Bible, giant Bible, large print Bible, but they never read them. A pastor went to visit a member at home, and as he was counseling them, he said, "Madam, I bring your Bible. I want to read your passage." The woman turned to her son, said, "Go and bring that book we used to read every night." The boy went to the room and brought out the story of tortoise. and other tales.
Ati, awon etan mi.
Ma say, not this one, not this one. I said, the one we read every night. Say, mommy, this is the one we read every night. Which one again? So if what you read is the story of tortoise, meals and bones, all kinds of other books that would de-anoint your life. You read it more than the Bible.
You
read your newspapers, but Bible is becoming a problem. You take your Bible, you sleep off. Then there is a problem. You need high class deliverance. Not even deliverance of prayer, very high class. Because most of the, when you go for deliverance at a place like prayer, maybe you have been troubled by the enemy. But right now you are troubling yourself too. And you need to do something quick about it. Oh, many give all kinds of excuses why they can't read the Bible, why they can't study the Bible. Some will say, I don't have time. You will make time for what you want to make time for. Some have said the messages are not possible to follow. They are too hard. But then without discipline, without that hardness, you don't get anywhere in life. Some say, I don't find this relevant to my present, this present generation. In fact, it is the most relevant book for our generation. It's very boring. It doesn't excite me. It is not you that is finding it boring. It's a spirit in you. Some don't have any order of reading the Bible. Just jump from page to page, jump from page to page. Some hold the Bible in the mind and say, Father, guide me, and yours open anywhere. And if it's the same place you read yesterday, we'll still read it. They say, that's what God wants me to read. It is a very serious matter. And we have filled the house of God, unfortunately, with many who are biblically illiterate. I'm convinced in my spirit that in this side of heaven, there is nothing more powerful or more wonderful than engaging your mind in the Word of God. Through the Word of God, the Spirit of God breathes into your heart and empowers you. The Bible has incredible power to give life and to strengthen. God has so constructed humanity that when you don't feed from this word, the person will die of spiritual kwashoko. No matter how hard it is, we must engage ourselves with the Bible as and make it a predominant force in our lives. There are some pastors, I feel sorry for them. They only read the Bible because they want to go and preach to others. They don't read the Bible for themselves. They don't read it for themselves. They read it just to preach, to minister. And because of that, they too, they are living a life of spiritual kwashoko. God inhabits his word. And to put your life on the word of God is to arrange your life around God himself. And this is where I want to start to conclude little by little here tonight. Let me tell you how to engage your life in the Word of God. How you engage your life with the Bible and you stop becoming a biblical illiterate. The first thing to do with the Bible. Is to fall in love with it. Fall in love with it in such a way that you want to survey the whole book. You want to have an idea of the entire what is inside this book as a whole. So if somebody said creation, you know you've read it. Somebody is talking about Joseph's dream, you know about it. Somebody is talking about the death of Jesus, you know about it. Somebody is talking about the last days, you know about it. The person is talking about the triumph of heaven over all the hosts of darkness, you know about it. Fall in love with the Word of God and survey it. Sit down.
Joko.
Try your best.
Be yonju.
Read it through. It takes 56 hours.
Wakati meri dini ogota ni ogba.
To just sit down and read through the Bible.
Lati kon ka Bibeli jabe.
And if you read five chapters of the Bible on Sundays and three chapters every day, you finish in a year.
O ba je pe lojojumo o nka ori meta to si je pe ni ojo Sunday o nka ori marun o ka Bibeli ja kodun to pari.
Survey.
The
Bible. What is the first key? Fall in love and survey. Carry it about with you. Don't be too shy to bring out the Bible from your bag. Don't put the Bible deep inside the bag, then arrange your mirror, your comb, your powder, your food on top of it. It should be on the top. Don't put it just at the back mirror of your car. If you must be in that car, you must be at the front. Then number two way is to listen to the Word of God. Whether it is listening to yourself reading the Bible or hearing somebody else reading it, listen is a good way of scriptural breakfast, lunch, and dinner scripture consumption. Listening is an important strategy to enable you to hear the Bible even if you are busy. And one wonderful thing that the computer world and the modern world has done for us is that you can buy Bibles on CD, Bible on tape, and be playing it while you are doing something else. You can listen to the entire New Testament in 15 to 20 hours, the entire book. You can listen to the whole Bible within 80 hours.
Just
playing it from Genesis, then reading it. And they are even now, even it's so good now that even on your mobile phone, they can help you put the Bible inside. And so the Bible is, the old Bible is there. Even Bible concordance is inside mobile phones now. But many will not put such useful things in their phone. What they have there is satanic ringtones and satanic pictures. So fall in love with it and survey it. Secondly, form a habit of listening to the word of God. Somebody came to me some time ago and he was afraid that certain things will happen in the country. I said it will not happen. Oh, the person said, oh no. Jill, you don't read newspaper. You don't listen to news. If you listen to those, you know that you're not taking this in serious. Let me tell you one truth. I've listened to news years. It has not added one value to my life. All the years you have been watching 9 o'clock news, what breakthrough has it given to you? Answer me. I must say, 6 o'clock news and we put it on. What benefit has it done to your life? Somebody who did not even have TV is better off. And it doesn't help the spirit of somebody like me when you just switch on your TV and the next thing you feed 77 persons destroyed in Iraq, 69 persons they cut off their head somewhere else. This one is dead, that one is dead. You see dead people, blood, blood, blood all over the place. And that's the first thing you see in the morning. It will de-anoint you.
In fact,
these days now, our local news is even kinder. You see terrible things every day. That's why, when you play the word of God in your house, you change the atmosphere, now changes. It has the power to change the atmosphere. And this is the mistake some people make. You must listen to the word. When you put in a message, a sermon from a man of God, immediately that environment changes. Unlike when you put in what is this man saying now? What is he saying? Three. Form a habit of reading the word of God silently. Silent reading of the word of God is the fastest way to taking scripture. An average person can read 250 to 300 words a minute. The advantage of silent reading is that it is private and you do it with ease and with speed. At those 300 words a minute, you can even read the entire Bible in about a little bit over 50 hours. Let me recap the three things I've told you now. What's the first one? Open your mouth and talk now. What's number two? And that's number three? Four. Form the habit of reading your Bible aloud. Aloud, privately, aloud. People in centuries going by. In the Bible, they read the Bible aloud. They're not silent about it. That's why if you read Acts chapter 8, you see that Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading the Bible aloud. Say, like a lamb led to the slaughter, and the sheep before the shearer is dumb, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. He was reading those things. He read it loud. He read it until Philip was hearing it. But he did not understand what he was reading. Although reading aloud slows us down. It slows you down to approximately 120 to 140 words a minute. But it is a powerful way of drinking in the word of God. You may sound like a mad person when you start. You are reading the Bible out loud and walking about. Bible in your hand. But if you try it, you never leave it again. You will not leave it again. You want to be doing it regularly. I seriously encourage you to try it. The way you open your mouth and pray, when you are praying, open your mouth to read that Bible loud and clear. You will find the power will start flowing into your soul. Number 5. Read the Bible publicly. Read it publicly. Which is what we do here on Sundays. You say, open your Bible. Instead of somebody reading through, say, everybody, you sister, read the first verse, brothers, read the second verse. If you go that when I say gospel music concert, classical music concert, praise worship concert, I'm looking forward to a day where we can declare a concert of scripture. And all of us will gather together, we'll start reading from the book of Genesis, and we'll read and read and read and read until we close and go home, and we share the grace. No other thing. Corporate reading of the word of God was what they were doing in the Old Testament. It has done a lot of miracles in their lives. Number 6. Form a habit of discussing the word of God. You discuss with people who are knowledgeable about the meanings of scripture, interpretations, or even questions. You can juggle your brain around by trying to ask the Bible questions. You can try a Bible study or get a friend who knows the Bible, and both of you begin to discuss scriptures. This is of tremendous help. 7. Try copying the Bible with your own handwriting. This exercise may look very boring, as if it's not, as if it's repetition. You see, but hand copying slows the brain down, and then you'll be able to follow the meaning of what you're writing.
I
How many things have I told you now? What is number one? Number two? Number three? Number four? Number five? Number six? And number seven? Number eight is to study the word. Do Bible, personal Bible studies. You can pick a character and study him. You can buy a Bible commentary, you can buy a concordance, you can use it to study scriptures. Apart from the Bible study we do in church, carry out your own personal Bible study to improve your own life. Carry it out. Then number nine that you could do, try and cross reference the Bible. Cross reference the Bible. When Peter said no scripture is of private interpretation, it means that no scripture is standing alone. One is explaining another. Cross reference it. It's okay. The Bible says this in social place. Does it say it in another place? Is this the only place where it says the thing? Cross-referencing helps you to get deeper into the world. Number 10. Chew the word. Chew it the way you chew meat. Chew the word and stress the word. Begin to say it as if somebody is saying something. That even those children of darkness are calling incantation. You are doing holy incantation. You are doing your own holy incantation. 11. Highlight words in your Bible. There are markers you can use to highlight areas in your Bible that you want to read. Special areas that is appealing to you. You highlight the place so that you understand it better. Then you come back to it later and still look at it. Then you understand it a lot better. Number 12. Memorize the word. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. I have memorized it. As a believer and as somebody who has been pastoring churches for years, yes, I pastored my first church in
1985.
I don't know of any single practice in Christianity more rewarding in practical terms than in memorizing scripture. I've not seen. No other single discipline have I found to be more useful and rewarding than this one.
I mean
in practical terms now. We're not talking about prayer. Bible said the Spirit helps our infirmities. This one, a practical thing that you yourself decide to do to shape you up. I cannot, if you ask me,
that Gio, please, can you point at one singular exercise that pays great spiritual dividends? I will say memorizing the scripture. Immediately you begin to memorize scriptures, your prayer life will become powerful. If you are an evangelist, you are interested in witnessing, your witness will be sharper and much more accurate. If you are a counselor, your counseling will be in great demand. As you memorize scripture, your attitude towards life and your outlook will begin to change. Because the word of God is God himself, as you swallow it and you memorize it, you start to become godly. Your mind will become alert and observant to spiritual things. Your faith will be solidified when you begin to memorize scripture. You choose a time when your mind is free from outside distractions. The best time is when you get up early in the morning. Your mind is not clouded with plenty of things. Then you take the verses you want to learn, and you begin to read it over and over again. Read it loud so that it can enter back into your spirit. Review the passages over and over again. Then throughout that day, keep repeating it, keep rolling it through your mind. As you do this, beloved, the word of God gets into your system. 13. Form a habit of personalizing the word of God. You put scripture and put your name there. With long life will it satisfy me and will show me salvation. 14. Sing, learn to sing the word of God. There are plenty of songs that are really scripture in singing. And those songs are powerful and wonderful. That's the beauty of singing the Psalms. But when you are singing the Psalm, you are not altering, you are just singing it as it is in the Bible. You sing the word. And as you are singing the word, it goes deep into your life. 15. Hum the word of God. Learn to hum it.
You
are humming it.
It's
another good alternative to singing. You hum it. You hum it. 16. Display the word of God. Write them out. Paste them on your car. Paste them in the house. Paste them in the kitchen. Paste it everywhere. You find that as your eyes are going about, you are catching it. I'm sure there is nobody who has been attending Mountain of Fire for 2 months and who can see this altar, who will ever forget, surely the Lord is in this place, because you see it every day. The same thing. You are writing it about your house. It becomes part and parcel of you. Number 17. Share the word of God. Share it. Witness to people. Use the scripture that you have learned.
18.
Teach or preach the word at any opportunity you are given. Teach or preach it at every opportunity you have.
19.
Do the word of God. Do it. Don't just read. Do it. Be a doer of the word. Then the last but not the least. Learn to interpret passages. Learn to interpret passages. So once they read a passage in church or somewhere and it's not clear to you, don't just put your Bible away immediately you get home and forget it. Try and read more of it and find out what to do and what and how you should do it and what it's really talking about. You do like the Berean Christians who were searching the word of God daily. As you practice this 20 things, you stop becoming biblically illiterate. Rather, you become biblically literate. I've shared this with you several times. Let me share it again tonight before we start praying. In one church where I pastored many years back, before the Lord started the mountain of fire,
it
was a small congregation. We are less than 60. I made it compulsory for everyone coming to church to learn some scripture by memory. I made it compulsory. And people were complaining. This man has turned this church to a school. We know that it's a university person, but you should know that not everybody can memorize these things. Some complain that they are too old, that the brain is too old. But because I embarrass them, anytime they can't read it, we may say, stand up, climb on the chair. So because of that embarrassment, they learned it. But they were complaining silently. Then something happened one day. A woman gave a testimony. That testimony made my job 100% easy. The woman got home. She worked in the hospital. And she had just succeeded in helping them to deliver a problematic pregnancy. Problematic pregnancy. Because in the night, the tummy that was big in the evening becomes flat at night. The baby will just vanish. By 5 a.m. or so in the morning, the baby is back. The tummy is big again. So this sister prayed the fire prayer she has learned and decreed that that baby should not go to any meeting again. The baby should come out. And this strange baby was born. She got home. Immediately she got home, a terrible creature came into her room and said, "You, we tied people, you are going to release them. You too, you will die today. Ah, the woman said, I shall not die but live. To declare the words of God. When she said that, she found that the creature that was moving towards her could not move again. I don't know, she began, so she gained courage. And say, it is written, associate yourself, all you people. You shall be scattered. Speak the word. You shall not stand. For God is with us. This creature fell down and promptly disappeared. But if not for the power of that word, we'll just get to her house, they'll say that she's dead. Let's rise up on our feet now. Rise up on your feet now. The first thing I'd like you to do is that if you know that your Bible reading, Bible study, you have is nothing to write home about. Don't deceive yourself. Bow down your heads. Ask the Lord to forgive you. When your word level is very low, then the enemy can play around with you anyhow. If you are in this meeting today, and you have been born again for up to 5 years, I expect you to know a minimum of 56 memory verses. Minimum. If you are not up to that, that is a problem. A problem indeed. Salam to my feet, alam to my father, always to save and to guide me from sin and show me the heavenly way. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. That I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said a tragic word to some people in Scripture.
Paul said,
is it not written that behold, I will send my words unto those people, and they will wander and perish? For seeing they will see it, but they will not perceive. Hearing they will hear, they will not understand. It's a terrible prophecy. I want you to cry to the Almighty here tonight. Jesus spoke to those who, by the way of them, by those people who were coming after the resurrection of Jesus. And he told them, say, you people, you are foolish and you are slow of heart to understand all that the prophets have spoken. Your heart can be slow spiritually. Your mind can be dull spiritually. These are the powers to deal with now. Many needs for the sponge of heaven soaking the blood of Jesus to wash their brain. This is why I want you to pray this prayer the way you have never prayed any prayer before. Pray, because you are praying for, these are spiritual prayers, you are praying for yourself now. He said, behold, you wander and perish. So, for I will do a work in your day, though it be explained to you, you will not understand. And the person will die in that state. You will cry to the Lord from the top of your voice. Power of spiritual dullness. Power of spiritual blindness. Can you say those two things and let me hear you? That's a tough thing to have. Power of spiritual deafness. Can you shout those three things now? Shout it again loud and clear. Now, when I say you begin to pray now, don't reduce the volume of that voice. Don't open your eyes to look at anybody. Don't be in a hurry to stop. Because 1 minute into that prayer, the power of God will fall upon this place. And other people begin to experience the refreshing power of Jehovah. Can you shout the prayer again? In my life. In the name of Jesus.